Section 2, the geographic regions of South Carolina. As you read, look for the varying terrain, flora, fauna, weather, and waterways of the five geographic regions of South Carolina, the significance of the fall line in the history of our state, terms, flora, fauna, elevation, precipitation, monadnock, kudzu, tributary, fall line, Carolina Bays, fault, delta, sound, barrier island. Although South Carolina is a small state, it is rich in diversity. Its land varies from mountainous to hilly to flat, from rocky to clay-filled to sandy. Its rivers range from gushing mountain streams to lazy, slow-moving black rivers near the coast. If you live in the mountains, you might never have swum in the Atlantic Ocean. If you live on the coast, you might be unaware of the cool heights of the mountains. One of the attractions of the state to visitors and newcomers is the variety of environments available in a rather small area. The Blue Ridge Region. Let us begin our study of South Carolina's landscape in the northwestern section of the state. We can ride along Cherokee Foothills National Scenic Highway, SC Route 11, from Walhalla eastward until it crosses I-26, and see most of the Blue Ridge Mountains of South Carolina. The spectacular scenery will probably thrill you unless you live there and perhaps think you are bored with it. Maybe then you would be more thrilled by the ocean. But there is something about the might and majesty of a range of mountains that has awed and inspired humans since the beginning of history. Terrain. This narrow strip of rather low mountains we see from Route 11 comprises only 2% of the state's land area. That strip, though, is the southeastern edge of the oldest land formation in North America, the Appalachian chain of mountains that extends from northern Alabama northeastward into Canada. The age of the mountains contributes to their appearance today. Some 350 million years of rain and wind, freezing and heating, have eroded those peaks, made them more rounded and lower than the Rockies in the west. The highest peak in the South Carolina Blue Ridge Range is Sassafras Mountain, about 3,554 feet above sea level, on the border with North Carolina. These older mountains appear soft, with their lush vegetation. Perhaps you will be enticed to hike a few miles on the Palmetto Trail, which is being completed between the Blue Ridge and the Atlantic Coast. It has plenty of challenging terrain and strenuous climbs. Flora and fauna. The terrain and soils of the Blue Ridge are not very well suited to crops. Most of the land is utilized for forest and pastures. The flora, natural vegetation, is similar to that farther north because of the altitude. The forests are primarily oak and tulip poplar, interspersed with hemlock, birch, beech, and white pine. Along the streams, we might observe cottonwood, sycamore, and alder trees. Under the tree canopy grow very colorful stands of azaleas and rhododendrons. It's no wonder that Route 11 and the several state parks of the Blue Ridge are crowded with visitors enjoying the blossoming shrubs during spring and summer and the flaming foliage in the fall. The abundance of fauna, animal life, in the Blue Ridge region includes numerous songbirds, hawks, occasional peregrine falcons, and even bald eagles. Birds closer to the ground, such as turkeys and grouse, delight the hunters. They will likely see white-tailed deer, rabbits, squirrels, and maybe wild boars. They may not see the reclusive black bears, but they are there. So are beavers and otters, competing in the streams with rainbow and brown trout. The Blue Ridge also has its fair share of snakes and other reptiles. Weather. The Blue Ridge region, because of its elevation, height above sea level, is the coldest and wettest region of the state. Its average precipitation, rain, snow, sleet, and hail, per year ranges from 60 to 81 inches, compared to a statewide average of 49 inches. As warm air bounces up the sides of the mountains and mixes with the colder air above, moisture condenses and falls in the form of rain, snow, or sleet. Temperatures in the Blue Ridge average at least 10 degrees cooler than most of the rest of the state. The Piedmont Region. If we ride on Route 11 east to I-26, we have already left the mountains and entered the Piedmont, a vast hilly region to the south and east of the Blue Ridge. This region, whose name means foot of the mountains, borders the Appalachian chain from Pennsylvania south to Alabama. Terrain. The Piedmont makes up approximately one-third of South Carolina. Its elevation varies from about 1,200 feet near the mountains to about 300 feet near the middle of the state. The very hilly northwestern Piedmont gradually gives way to more gently rolling hills as we travel southward on I-26 or perhaps on the more scenic US 321 or US 76. If you are hiking on the Palmetto Trail, you will certainly notice the trail getting easier. In a few places, there are breaks in the rolling hills. Granite outcroppings appear here and there. Examples are Kings Mountain in York County, 40 Acre Rock in Lancaster County, and Paris Mountain in Greenville County. Geologists call these formations monadnocks. Granite quarries have been important factors in the local economies of several communities of the Piedmont. Especially prized is the blue granite from Fairfield County, which the South Carolina legislature designated as the state stone. Flora. Long ago, the Piedmont was one large continuous forest. In the 19th century, much of the land was cleared of oak and pine for the growing of cotton and a few other agricultural products. Soils here were not the richest, but they produced good crops of cotton or corn for many years. Gradually, in the 20th century, much of the worn-out land was returned to forest, either naturally or by planting for timber and paper pulp. Much land has also been sown in grasses for pasture and for holding the soil in place. In the 1930s and 1940s, kudzu was widely planted to control erosion and restore soil. That was before this Japanese import came to be considered a nuisance that grew over and choked tall trees and covered abandoned houses. No kudzu has been planted in decades, but it continues to thrive in the Piedmont. Rivers. Besides the forest and pastures, the most noticeable feature of the Piedmont is its rivers, which are quite different from those of the Blue Ridge. Piedmont rivers are usually broad, with gently sloping banks, rather than the V-shaped valleys of the mountainous region. The rivers have many tributaries, smaller creeks and streams that feed into the main rivers. As the waters wash off the land, they carry silt into the rivers, giving most rivers a muddy appearance. For many centuries, these waterways have been important for humans' use, for water and food supply, for transportation, and as a source of power to do work. Fauna. Wildlife roaming the woodlands of the Piedmont include deer, turkeys, bobcats, foxes, many varieties of snakes and reptiles, and even flying squirrels. Quails, wood thrushes, warblers, wrens, and sparrows inhabit the forests and pastures. At Lansford Canal State Park, while observing the very rare and wondrous Rocky Shoals spider lilies in early June, you will probably spy on the eagle's nest in the park and see ospreys, hawks, and herons, which are common in the Piedmont. The Sand Hills Region. Columbia is approximately the geographic center of the state. It sits like a buckle on the belt of the Sand Hills region, which stretches northeast and southwest across the state and into neighboring states. These are low, rolling hills composed of sands and clays washed down from the mountains and Piedmont during millions of years of erosion. These soils collected along this belt in sand dunes, because this is where the ocean shore was 50 or 60 million years ago. The ocean's churning action shaped these hills, and other forces of nature have continued to shape them. The fall line. Also along this belt is the fall line or fall zone, the places on the rivers where rocks and rapids make navigation impossible for a mile or two. To continue boat travel up or down the river, boatmen had to portage, carry between two navigable rivers, their boats around the rapids. In the 19th century, governments dug canals that channeled water around the rapids so boats could continue their journeys. The canal water could also be used to power mill machinery. Because of the activities associated with the rapids, towns grew up at those points along rivers. North Augusta, Columbia, Camden, and Cheraw are important examples. The Columbia Canal, designed by famous South Carolina architect Robert Mills, opened in 1824. A walk along Waterfront Park in Columbia between the Broad River and the canal is a healthy way to gather a sense of what has happened there over many centuries. Sandy soils, flora, and fauna. The soils of the sandhills are generally not very productive. The sandy soils are so porous that water drains through quickly, leaching out even the small amount of organic matter that might have accumulated. The surface dries rapidly, leaving some areas barren, but most are covered by pine trees or scrub oaks, sparkleberries, sand myrtle, and even cactus plants. The pines were originally longleaf pines, but more recently, loblolly and slash pines, grown for the paper mills, predominate. The red-cockaded woodpecker became endangered because of the decline of longleaf pine forest. The Sand Hills State Forest and the Carolina Sand Hills National Wildlife Refuge are providing longleaf pine habitats, and the red-cockaded woodpecker is beginning to make a comeback. Other birds in the sand hills include warblers, nuthatches, bluebirds, owls, hawks, and the beautifully colored wood duck. Mammals in the area include bobcats, foxes, an occasional coyote, and many smaller animals on their menu, such as rabbits, squirrels, rats, and mice. Mention must also be made of the cockroach or palmetto bug. The insect is everywhere in South Carolina and unstoppable, the kudzu of the animal kingdom. Upcountry and Lowcountry. The Sand Hills Belt marks the Midlands, about a halfway point in the state. For convenience, South Carolinians usually refer to the section of the state containing the Piedmont and Blue Ridge regions as the Upcountry or Upstate. From the sand hills to the coast is referred to as the low country. These terms are to have great political and emotional power at certain critical points in South Carolina history. The coastal plain region. If you travel from North Augusta, Columbia, Camden, or Cheraw to the Atlantic Ocean, you will experience the 100-mile broad coastal plain, the largest landform region in South Carolina. Geologists divide the plain into the inner and outer coastal plains. The inner coastal plain, with its gently rolling hills, appears somewhat similar to the nearby sand hills. The difference is that the soil is much better. The inner coastal plain is only a narrow band across the state, but it is the most productive agricultural area of South Carolina. The outer coastal plain, nearer to the ocean, is nearly flat. There the land is still fertile, but drainage is not good, and therefore row crops are spotty. Traveling through the coastal plain, we are struck by the sight of huge pine forest. There are also some hardwoods, including several varieties of oak, hickory, and sweet gum. Cypress and tupelo dominate the numerous river bottoms and swamps. Carolina Bays. There are many mysteries in nature, despite all our scientific knowledge. One of these mysteries is the existence of Carolina Bays on the coastal plain. These are not bays as in inlets or ports. The name bay comes from the bay trees that typically grow there. Carolina Bays are oval-shaped depressions in the land, with the axis of each running northwest to southeast. They vary in size from 3 acres to thousands of acres. Some of them are now lakes, some swamps, some dry grasslands. Many have been drained and cultivated to take advantage of their rich organic soil. Once there were thousands of them located mainly in South and North Carolina. Only a few hundred have been preserved in their natural state. Their distinctive shape and uniform orientation gave rise to the theory that Carolina Bays were caused by a large meteor breaking up in the atmosphere and peppering the earth with meteorites, leaving these distinctive scars on the landscape. Thorough investigations have failed to support this speculation, but no satisfactory answer has been found for this mystery. Rivers. The rivers that we noticed gushing in the mountains and flowing strongly in the Piedmont slow to a sluggish pace in the flat coastal plain. They meander, forming many curves and often created broad floodplains and swamps, especially in the outer coastal plain. You can closely observe the floodplains and swamps if you hike the Swamp Fox Passage of the Palmetto Trail below Lake Moultrie. I-26 from Columbia to Charleston, or US 521 from Sumter to Georgetown, will offer good views of the numerous rivers and swamps of the coastal plain. Flora and fauna. The wildlife population in the coastal plain, and especially in the swampy areas, is enormous and varied. Many of our state's familiar species, such as deer, turkeys, Canada geese, mallard and wood ducks, songbirds, and foxes, appear in much greater abundance in the coastal plain. The gray foxes in this area can climb trees, in contrast to red foxes, which cannot. Congaree National Park, the only national park in South Carolina, is in the inner coastal plain, only a few miles south of Columbia. It is preserved as one of the few remaining old-growth river-bottom hardwood forest. A hike along the boardwalk loop or a canoe ride through the swamp will reveal some of the park's champion trees, the largest of their species in the world. All across the coastal plain, you might find beavers, muskrats, minks, coyotes, turtles, snakes, bald eagles, golden eagles, and ospreys. Lakes Marion and Moultrie are famous for their bass, bream, and catfish. A geological fault. The coastal plain lies on a geological fault, a fracture in Earth's crust that has caused serious earthquakes, notably the Charleston earthquake of 1886, whose epicenter, the part of Earth's surface directly above the earthquake's focus, was actually a bit inland near Somerville. The most damage was in the city, where 83 people died and nearly one-fourth of the value of buildings was lost. The tremors were felt for hundreds of miles, with reports of chimneys falling in Kentucky and Ohio and lighthouses swaying in New York. The Coastal Zone Region. The final landform region is the Coastal Zone Region, the thin strip of land and water from the ocean's edge to a few miles inland. There is only a small percentage of South Carolina territory, but the coast has been a dominant factor in the state's history since the coming of European settlers. It is still the fastest-growing part of the state in terms of population and tourism. The chief attractions are its beauty, its beaches, and the pleasant weather. The coastline of approximately 185 miles is divided into three very distinctive sections, each providing its own characteristics, charm, and challenges. Grand Strand. From the North Carolina border, for about 60 miles south, is the Grand Strand, a gentle arc of coastline that is one beach, unbroken by rivers. Few places in the world offer such a phenomenal stretch of wide, sandy beaches. The lure of the beach has led to intensive development with the highest concentration in Myrtle Beach. Many large hotels and condominiums built very close to the beach, and over 100 golf courses built within a few miles of the beach, have added both recreational attractions and environmental challenges. Santee Delta. The second section is the Santee Delta, which runs from Winyah Bay and Georgetown for about 20 miles to the south. It is the largest river delta, a place where rivers flow into the sea, leaving soil deposits behind, on the Atlantic coast, but it has experienced serious erosion since 1942. That is when much of the Santee's water and sediment was diverted into the Cooper River. This diversion meant less of the soil that eroded from the Piedmont and coastal plain was deposited on the Santee Delta. Without large new deposits, the sea washed away several hundred feet of land at some points. The coast along the delta is largely marsh and mud rather than sand beaches. Sea Islands. The third section of the coastal zone, stretching over 100 miles to the border of Georgia, is largely composed of the sea islands. This section has many inlets, river mouths, and waterways, weaving in and among dozens of islands. The islands and their surroundings are very diverse. Some are separated from the mainland by sizable sounds, arms of the sea reaching around an island. Some are separated by a narrow portion of the intracoastal waterway that provides a protected passageway for boats to navigate along the coast. Other islands are separated from the mainland by marshlands. All these habitats are extremely important for thousands of species of plants and animals that depend upon the marshes, waterways, and beaches for their food, protection, and incubation. The outermost of these islands are called barrier islands. They form a sand and vegetation barrier that protects inward islands and the mainland from the sea and winds. Some of these islands have fine, wide beaches similar to the Grand Strand, but on a smaller scale. The attractive beaches have led to intensive development of many of these islands, including Isle of Palms, Folly, Sullivan's, Kiowa, Hunting, and Fripp. Hotels, condominiums, restaurants, private houses, and roads have been crowded onto these platforms of sand. Most of the time, the islands are beautiful, but beach erosion and storms cause major problems. The natural action of ocean waves, tides, and winds for thousands of years has shaped and reshaped these islands and will continue to do so regardless of human intervention. Some residents accept such danger as the price for living in such scenic places. A few of the barrier islands have been preserved from development and are maintained by the state government as havens for beach vegetation and wildlife. To walk on either Bulls or Capers Island, a few miles north of Charleston, is to experience what visitors must have seen centuries ago. The living vegetation is thick and untamed. Along the island's outer coast lie dead trees that were felled by natural beach erosion. The wildlife is rich in varieties and numbers. Two other examples of conserved barrier islands are North and South Islands near Georgetown. These islands were willed to the state by Tom Yawkey, owner of the Boston Red Sox, who was an avid outdoorsman and conservationist. His gift is one of the greatest contributions to conservation in American history. The marshes, forests, and beaches provide an undisturbed habitat for hundreds of wildlife species, several of which are endangered. Fauna. The wildlife in the coastal zone is almost the same as in the coastal plain, except the number of alligators, turkeys, raccoons, eagles, and ospreys increased dramatically, and we note several other species. Gulls, terns, pelicans, plovers, and sandpipers live on the beach. In the marshes and along the beaches, you can find oysters, catch crabs, and observe bottlenose dolphins playing in the surf. At Little River, McClellanville, and other fishing villages, you can watch the fishing boats bringing in their catches of sea bass, red snapper, croaker, triggerfish, sea trout, grouper, and shrimp. One sea creature of particular interest is the loggerhead turtle. This sea turtle is huge. An adult may weigh 300 pounds or more. It is also an endangered species because so many of its nesting places on the beaches of the southeastern United States have been disrupted by human development. South Carolina law protects the turtle and its nesting places from human intervention. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources flags its nesting places, and residents are asked to turn out lights on the beach because the turtles always lay their eggs at night. Even with these precautions, the chances of a baby loggerhead surviving until it can begin reproducing are estimated to be 1 in 10,000. Undeveloped beaches like North and South Islands in the Tom Yawkey Wildlife Center are our best hope for the survival of the loggerhead turtle. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form precipitation, Carolina Bays, Delta. 2. What are the 5 geographic regions of South Carolina? 3. What is the importance of the barrier islands?